This morning, I want to take an opportunity to really introduce you to our children's pastor. This is Dory Baltice. Let's give it up for Dory. I know we've had her on staff for what?
A month? Yeah.
And I really wanted to do this before, you know, a month passed, but it has been a crazy summer for me. And I decided, hey, this is the first opportunity to really do this, to get to introduce Dory to you. All right. She is she was a student at Point Loma Nazarene University for the past 3 years. Yeah. All right, she got all that done. She graduated, right?
Yes, I did.
All right. It took her only 3 years. Most people like me takes 5 years. I know. I'm smarter.
Wow.
All right. All right. So I wanted to take a moment for you to kind of get to know Dory. And so I'm going to ask her, what are the three things, all right, that we need to know about Dory Baltice? Pastor Dory.
All right. Dory Baltice. Let's see. I love the energy that a child can bring to a room. That's number one. They just amaze me every single time they walk in the door. They are amazing, and I get so filled with joy every time I see a child. It's so fun to me. Number two, I love my cats so much. Like, if you are a cat person, I am new to the bandwagon. I just got two kittens, and I am obsessed with them. They are so much fun. If you don't have a kitten, you should get one. They're amazing. And number three, I'm just so excited to be here. Like, genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, this is not scripted. I am ready and excited to be here with your children, with you guys as volunteers. I got to skip down the hallway today with a child. I'll be thinking about that for like 2 weeks. That was so much fun. And I was a little bit out of breath afterwards, but it's fine. So, yeah, I think those are 3 points.
All right. What is the one thing about Trollner's ministry that we need to let them know that you are super excited about?
I am the most excited for these kids to feel like this ministry is theirs. It is not about me. It is not about our volunteers. We have amazing volunteers, and I would love for you to join that team. It's not about them. It is about these kids knowing that this is a place that is theirs. They have a say in what we learn. They have a say in what we eat for a snack. They have a say in the games that we play. It is their place where they can come authentically as themselves and just be who they are and be their rowdy little selves. And that's okay. God loves that. God loves them. And we are just here to rally around them and support them in that.
That's awesome. Thank you, Dory. I want to encourage you. Maybe you don't even have a heart or a passion or an inkling towards children's ministry. And that's okay, all right? But I encourage you just to go back there and check it out. See what we're all about as a church at First Naz to understand that this is a priority to us. We want to grow younger. We want to make sure that the children of our world understand that they are welcome here in this church, that we love them, we embrace them, and we value them, all right? And that we do this also with the mentality that we brought Dory to pastor us and our children to learn how to love our children the way God has called us to love our children, right? So we, again, let's give it up for Dory. Welcome her, love on her.
Thank you, guys.
Get to know her.
Come to my meeting, please.
Come to the meeting. I'll try to make it a quick sermon, all right? No. I don't like cats. All right, good deal. I got booed. It's the second church has ever booed me. All right, good deal. Welcome. I am so glad you're here. I want you to know from my own heart and my own being and who I am, this last month and a half, and I probably said this last week or the weeks before, that it has been a sprint of a marathon. And first off, I don't like running. All right, I don't know if you like running. I'm not a big runner, but I feel like I have been going and going and going and going. And I haven't hit the wall, but I think it's because you have been praying for me. And I have felt it, and I understand it, and it has encouraged me. I'm standing here because of what God has done in my life and how he's filled me up and how you've been praying for me. I just want you to know, God is good. And I hope you believe that. I hope you've seen that. And I look out here. Thank you for turning the lights on. I can see you. I want you to know that I believe and I see a bunch of miracles here this morning. That God has done some amazing things in your lives, and you've been a testimony to that. And whether you feel like it's been a miracle with God this week or not, you sit here, you've been able to praise God here, and that's a miracle in many ways. And I praise God for that this morning. Our hope as we prepared this morning, as the team got around and we circled up and we prayed, that your heart has already been warmed up by the Spirit and has already received his call, has already received his touch, and you are up that. Maybe you have felt broken and that you just dragged yourself in here, and I've already heard a couple be like, I might fall asleep unless you jump around and do something amazing. Who knows what I might say today? So be on your toes, board members, all right? But God is good. Even when life stinks sometimes, even when we're dragging through the week, God is good because he's there to carry us through it. And he brings people like us to surround each other and lift each other up and love each other through it. That is what a church is called to do. We are called to feel his Spirit, to reach out and extend that Spirit of love, grace, mercy, peace to other people that need it. And that's what we're called to do. We are talking about this week about being set apart. We talked about last week, see if I get this on, about God's holiness and what that means, right? And how God is holy and he is set apart. This is what holiness means, is set apart. And I want to kind of explain it a little bit more from God's perspective of who he is and what he is. And I want to compare him to the sun. The big orange thing in the sky, or yellow, depending on what color discrepancy you think it is. If you're staring at it long enough, it just becomes black, all right? Because then you can't see, right? Anybody as a kid, you got warned, don't stare at the sun, and you're that kind of kid, like, you had to stare at the sun. Anybody else? All right. Anybody have that permanent dark spot from now on? Like, after you stare, how long did you stare, and how long did that black spot stay there? Anybody else? I remember having a black spot going, I'm blind in spots, right? The panic attacks came early with being dumb. I love it. That's who I was as a kid. You know, kids, it's just what it is. You have that moment of looking at something that it is so bright that our bodies cannot handle it. And I want to compare that to how God is so holy, and when we're in that presence, we really cannot handle it. He talked about this with Moses, if you remember, with the burning bush. We talked about this, and he yells at God, Moses through the burning bush, hey, come over here. And the bush isn't being consumed, it's just burning. Still, just an amazing thing right there, right? And then it starts speaking, and Moses can understand it. And then he says, hey, you're going to be in the presence of your Lord. God, I need you to take off your shoes because this is a holy place. I'm glad we don't do that necessarily today. It would stink in here. Not because of some of you, but this row. Not Steve. Yeah, I'm calling out the teens. Yeah, that's how I roll. All right? I'm glad we don't necessarily do that anymore, but the reality, if we can think about that in terms of our relationship with God, maybe we need to start understanding his holiness and respect it. We talked about that last week, and if we are understanding God as the sun, right, in the metaphor sense, like, we can't get too close to the sun. It will burn us up. Think about that. If we had the same respect in how we talk to God and how we approach the throne and how he is with us. Because he is so much, he created the sun. He's more than that. Imagine an understanding, like, there was many people that had asked, God, I need to see your face. And he chose not to because it would have just killed them. But he showed them his glory. Right? And even in that, man, it was so much to bear in that moment. So we're talking about God's holiness and how he is set apart from us, because this world, since it has fallen, since Adam and Eve took of the tree of knowledge, right? We've fallen and we have sin, and it's corrupted us and it's corrupted this world. And if God can't have sin in his presence because of how holy he is, it will burn it up. Hence, why, if God comes in our presence, it will burn up the sin that is in our lives. And if sin consumes us, guess what happens? All that was consuming us is burnt up. You understand? It should scare some of us. It should make us think about how we live and how we approach the throne. And in fact, I think half the world understands that, and that's why they use the excuses like, I don't want his judgment, I don't want his righteousness, I don't want your hypocriticalness all over me. Because if you really believe this, it can be life-killing in a lot of ways. That is the holiness of God. All right? One of the verses that we are really going to focus on for this month, going the wrong way, is this. Leviticus 11, 44 through 45. Now, I love that I'm preaching out of Leviticus, because if you read the rest of Leviticus, there's some crazy things in Leviticus. And we're going to kind of talk about that, right? You start reading like, what was going on during its time? Woo! All right? I implore you, please read Leviticus. It's a game changer in some ways. It's Old Testament mind right here, all right? So, I am the Lord your God. Concentrate yourselves and be holy. Because I am holy. Do not make yourselves unclean by the creatures that moves along the ground. I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy because I am holy. Last week, we talked about God being holy. This week, we're going to talk about what it means for us to be holy. What it looks like for us to be holy. And can we even be holy? Is there anything we can be holy about, right? And I'm going to talk about a little bit of the Old Testament mindset, right? The Old Testament really focused on the moral and the purity of humanity. And in order to be connected to God, your moral compass and your purity must be completely cleansed and righteous. All right? You understand that? Like, you read the Old Testament, this is what it was. And in order to be these things, you had to sacrifice innocent animals, pure animals, to cover your sins. All right? Now, for instance, if you were to come into service during the Old Testament time, you would make sure you were pure and clean. Now, pure necessarily didn't mean you were evil, didn't mean that you were wrong. It just meant you handled things that were considered impure, and it made you impure. All right? So, therefore, you had to be clean. Moral meant you had to cause some kind of issues, right? You had to think something, do something, break one of the laws of the commandments, and not only did the commandments, that which were 10, they had multiple commands after those 10, right? And you had to kind of follow those commandments before you, and if you broke them, you had to make sure you offered at the altar before you even came into the building, into the temple. And if you didn't, and you were impure, you were in the presence of holiness, and more than likely, you would die in that presence. There were many priests back then, many people that were godly men, and they would go into the Holy of Holies. What they decided too is like the altars kind of separated somewhat of those who were not necessarily holy and then those who were really holy. Yeah. That was Old Testament, not today. All right? And I would have to make sure, if I were to step up here, which this contained the presence of God in this area. And there was a veil up, right? Because, again, the holiness of God was so much that we had to protect each other from the holiness of God, right? And I would have to tie a rope around my waist, because if I forgot something of, like,
I wasn't pure or morally good, I would probably die. And then they would just pull me out. It's crazy, right? But this is the holiness of God. Now, how do we explain this in today's thought process and how I am holy, you are holy, and God is okay with some of the things in which we do? Right? Is he okay with them? We're going to talk about that. Right? In Ezekiel 47, I encourage you to read Ezekiel 2. He's a prophet. He heard from God, and in 47, there was this temple. He had this vision of a temple, and it just started leaking at the base of the temple. Does that start to stress you as a homeowner or people that are on the building committee, that you start having this vision of the buildings just start leaking? Oh, no, it's flooded, right? You start stressing a little bit. I know for us, like, we want to, my wife would love to invest in every sub pump in the world so it never, we never have a problem with our basement flooding, right? Because once it floods, what's her thought is, from this point, if it floods, we move. That's it. We're done. We're not going to try to rebuild. We're not going to try to clean it. It's done. It's moldy. You'll always smell it forever. I can smell it. It's in my nose. Done. Right? Right? Ezekiel has this vision of this church, this temple, this leaking water. Right? And all of a sudden it leads to the Dead Sea, and it just turns into this raging river that is just giving life wherever it goes. Right? And it's just winding through, and it's just gushing life, and plants and trees and green, like what was dead is now, like in his vision, it just comes to life because of this little leak coming out. And turns into a massive river and goes into the Dead Sea and is just bringing life where it's at. And he says, you know, these trees will bear fruit. These leaves will heal. I want us to remember these things that Ezekiel talks about because it was a vision. It wasn't something that was literal. It was a vision. And then we point to John 7, 37 through 38. I don't have it up there, but I'm going to read it to you. John 7 says this. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out. I want you to understand it. He cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. And let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of believers' heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit, which believes in him were to receive. For as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. All right, wow. First off, living water. Jesus loves this analogy. There is many times in his walk, his ministry, that he used water as an analogy to quench the thirst of our spirit. What Ezekiel's out of the temple was the raging river that gave life to everything that he touched. And it was us, like through Jesus, what is he bearing? Fruit. What is he giving? Healing. Those are amazing things. Jesus is providing that. Jesus is the answer to that. Jesus is the holiness of God embodied in human form. Let me repeat that. Jesus is the holiness embodied in human form and walked on this earth. You see, he allowed himself to be encapsulated in our humanness and showed us what holiness looks like. Right? So first thing I would love for us to understand, this is a hard one to swallow. Morals and purity don't make you holy. Don't stone me. Don't hit me yet, okay? What makes you holy is being touched by Jesus. Allowing Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive your past, to forgive your thoughts, to forgive who you were, to be who you are in His presence, to allow the fruit to manifest in you, to allow those leaves of His love and His Spirit and His forgiveness to come and heal the wounds that need to be healed, becomes holiness for you. It is not by our actions, it is not by our virtues, it is not by our moralness. Like, those are great things, and in fact, they become the attributes of our holiness. Do you understand that? Like, that's what becomes part of our holiness. It becomes part of the reflection of what Jesus Christ has done in your life, changes your actions, changes your mentality, changes how you live and how you see this world to a point you're like, man, I don't want that part of my life that I once had. Because the holiness of Jesus Christ comes in and eradicates that, comes in and dethrones it, comes in and heals it, comes in and changes the person that you once were, and now you are this person, and you find yourself wanting to be within the holiness of Jesus and walking in His presence and being the shining light of that holiness that people come by and are like, man, he's changed, he's different, because something in him is different. You see, last week I joked about it, and this week it was funny. I had to go to a Nazarene convention. It was 3 days long. I'm tired. I heard sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon. And I will tell you, when I woke up this morning, 5 o'clock came fast. And I will tell you, my heart wasn't here because I have been onslaughted with sermon after sermon after sermon, which are not bad. Don't hear me wrong. That's not it. But my heart was like, I'm tired. I don't want to be here. Woo! I got convicted this morning. Because there's many times within Jesus' presence, in His walk, I'm pretty sure He's like, man, I am tired of them. I'm tired of what they're saying. I'm tired of them attacking me. I'm tired of them coming after me. And every time I have to talk, it has to be one of defense, one of like changing their perspective, one that is engaging them in a way like, come on, get the message. Get it. Right? Almost feeling like he's shaking the person in front of him. Come on, Peter. Don't you understand? You're going to not deny me 3 times. Listen, this is what's amazing about God and His holiness. He comes in and is resilient. He's not going to stop. As much as I continue to say, no, I don't want it, as much as I continue to say, I'm tired, leave me alone, as much as I say, like, I can't do this, you don't want me to be that person in front of this, you don't want me to be the voice of you, like, how can I do this? And he's going to be resilient until, like, he goes and uses somebody else. But the reality is, he still wants you personally. He wants you. He wants to change you. He wants to be involved with you. He wants to make you understand that with Him, you are holy. I was talking about that convention, and I heard one pastor talk about the old time, and how church was, you know, 60s. We, like, he even had a spiritual gauge up on the screen, and in the 60s, he goes, we were probably an 8, and now we're probably a 2. And I thought, oh. And then he started talking about, like, you know, bus ministries and all these other ministries and how culture was different and how all these things. And I want to be like, dude, the 60s was crazy too, right? I wasn't there. Some of you were. It was crazy, wasn't it? Right? But in some ways, he's right. But it's easy so much to see and gauge what we think holiness is and what we did and what we were. But I look at what we have right now, and God is alive. God is moving. God is changing lives. I am seeing it. And it's so easy to go and look and see by the culture and see by what we dress and how we do and how we do ministries and attribute it to the holiness of God. And the reality is, God's holiness hasn't changed. Do we believe that? Do we understand that? Like, God's holiness has been here. He is just waiting for us to accept it, to be touched by it. I want you to know, there is not a single person on this planet. I don't know what they look like. I don't care what they sound like. I don't care if they're like the Satanist, right? Jesus Christ, if he touches them, he will heal them. Do you believe that? And one of the things in which the culture that Jesus is around, let me point you to this, you can find in Matthew. You can find in Matthew 8. All right, there is a group of people. There was a disease. It was leprosy. And if you don't know what leprosy is, it is the skin disease. And it made you look like your skin was just falling off your body. And it was horrible. And they decided, you know what? We're going to take all the leopards because we don't want to be touched by them. Because if we touch by them, we're probably going to get leprosy. And so they just put them in a community outside the walls of their community and say, good luck to you. And they wouldn't give them food, they wouldn't give them any hospitality, they wouldn't tend to them, they were trash. They were the lowest of low people of their community. And they probably touched something they shouldn't have touched, they were unclean. And the church was not forgiving, the church was not nice, the church was in fact leading the crusade during that time, like, boot them, they're impure, God doesn't love them. And what does Jesus do? We find this in Matthew, and I love this. Jesus was the antithesis of what we thought holiness was during this time. And he's still somewhat the antithesis of what we think holiness is today. He goes, when Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And there was a leper who came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, out of his hand, oops, let me reread this. Woo, I'm struggling today. Woo, all right, I'll try to reread this. When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and there was a leper who came to him, and he knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean. First off, wow, that's faith. Do we believe that Jesus has the power, that God has the Spirit, Holy Spirit here, can touch our hearts, touch who we are, and heal us? Heal our anger, heal our depression, heal our anxiety, heal the things in which we carry, the frustrations, heal our marriages, heal relationships. Do we believe that Jesus can do that? Do we cry out to that? That's the answer, right? Man, he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I do choose. Be made clean. Immediately his leprosy was cleaned. Then Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift of Moses commanded, a testimony to them. Man, wow. Man, I just hearing that and believing that, this is where the church was failing in this moment. Didn't want any of the leprosy to touch them, any of that disease to be a part of them. Does this ring to us today? Are we nervous to touch the culture of today? I heard a sermon this last week that did change my perspective. It was amazing. He talked about the boat and Jesus being in it and the storms. And one of the parts in this scenery that he mentioned, I'm like, I don't think I've ever read this part. Wow. And I know I probably read it, just butchered it, just like I do right now, right? And so he goes, and there were other boats near. And the storm was calm. Think about that. Okay, listen. Jesus has calmed the storm of my life. He's forgiven me. He has made me holy. It is not by my actions. It is not by my. It is only me saying yes to him, and he resides, and he has changed me. And now in my boat is peace. There's love, there's forgiveness, there's understanding, there's a way to live that I get, and I want to live that way to glorify God. And when I walk up to other boats in the sea, the ocean, the lake, my presence, because of what God has done in me, what God is doing in me, brings peace. Brings understanding. Brings God's love. Wow. Wow. I mean, those boats didn't cry out to God. Probably they're like, oh, we're not going to make it. And because one boat in the middle of that lake is like, Jesus, please save us. And he calmed all the storms, and all the rest of the boats are like, oh, did you hear that? You see, church, we need to be the beacons of peace and forgiveness and holiness. We need to be the beacons of that. We need to be bringing peace and understanding to the storms that God still has control over them. That God can come in and go, it is good. We're good. All that anxiety, all that anger, all that depression, all that frustration that you felt, why do you have peace now? Your situation hasn't changed. You still work at the same job. You're still married to the same person. You're still dealing with the same things. You're right, but I have God. And all things are put into perspective when I understand his holiness, and I can do it with him. And I find peace and understanding. That's what makes this moment holy. Because now he's changed my eyesight. He's changed my heart. He's changed how I perceive it and how I see it and how I live it. That I can go into the storms and I know he's bigger than the storms. And I know his holy word can say, I've got you. Let's go. Let's do this for God. Let's live this for God. Let's believe in his holiness. You see, it is not the morals. Listen, the morals come because of what God has done in here. He's changed how I live. He has shown me, hey, this isn't good and healthy for you. I have set you apart from this. You don't need this junk in your life anymore. You don't. It's taking you away from me. It's taking you away from the love and understanding of who you are. I want to set you apart from it. I want to make you holy. And you start to recognize that. You start to understand that. You start to believe it. And you know, hey, that once was been this been before the holiness of God. And he came in and he made me holy. And I don't want what was there before. Because it leads me away. It ruins me. I had this baseball card. Bo knows Bo, right? Bo Jackson baseball card. And it was a football/baseball card. All right, and it was one of my favorites. I got to know who Bo Jackson was. I read his book. Like, that's big time for Ben Alexander as a kid. I read this book. Man, he was a stud. He was awesome. He did amazing things. I found that card. I put it in a plastic sleeve. I didn't put it with the rest of my cards. Like, it was on a little mantle. I was like, he's the stud. If you ever watched him play, wow. He would run up a wall, catch a ball, throw it a mile away. Like, these are the things I saw. Like, I cherish that. I cherish that card. I put it to the side. I want you to know, God is doing so much more with you. That he has picked you out, looks at you and goes, man, Jonathan Hall, I have picked you out, man. I love you. I want to see God's word go through you. I can't wait to see what you do for me. Let go of what was. All that anger that just beats you up. That mangles you. I want to hold you. And like, if you ever bent a baseball card, it's done. Right? What's amazing about God, we are not baseball cards. A lot of us feel like we're bent up, tore up, never going to be replaced, and we're going to have scars for the rest of our lives. God's holy word can come in and change all of that. He can make you new. He promises to make you new. He promises to make new life in you. What was doesn't have to be anymore. Some of us, I think, feel like we're the leopards. That we're dealing with the junk of our life and that nobody can touch us, even God cannot heal us. I want you to know today, Jesus is offering his sweet, redeeming touch right now. He offers it to you personally. He calls out your name personally. He knows who you are. He created you. He loves you. He embraces you. Nothing can separate us. Just our choices can. And what's cool about God is he's like, we are this prized possession that he continues to run after all the time. He's never going to give up till your last breath. And what's cool about God, and I don't highly suggest this because we're going to miss out on a lot of blessings, But what's so great and magnificent about God, in the last breath, if you ask for God's reign in your life, he will give it. You want to know how I know? I've seen it on the cross. They weren't at the Bible studies. They didn't have all the steps to spiritual correctness. They didn't have all those things. He just said, I believe, I want you. And he said, join me in heaven and let's party. Listen, today can be an opportunity for God to touch you, to bring holiness into your life. I'm going to ask, come on up. We're going to play some music. And I want to offer an opportunity for the altars to be open. That if there's things in your life that needs to be touched by God, to be made holy, to be redeemed, to be fixed, to allow God to resign in there and let it all go. And from this point on, I walk up and I know that Jesus is in control. He is the Holy One. I love him and I believe in him and I want new life in him. Today can be that opportunity. I don't want you to ignore it. I want you to have the opportunity to say, I want to follow him. I want his holiness to reign in me, to burn out those things that just anchor me to the evilness of this world. I need his holiness today. I need his touch. The altars are open. I want to take a couple moments, bow your heads, be alone with God. If you're ready for God's gentle touch, his redeeming touch, come and meet him at the altar. And this is the thing. I know our God is bigger than just the altar. I believe that he can meet you right where you sit. I believe that he can redeem you right where you're at. All right? Are you ready to say yes to him? Let's take a moment and just pray. Approach your throne this morning. We bask in your holiness. Whatever we've been holding on to, Lord, I pray that you touch us, that we are cleansed, that we are redeemed in this moment, that we have a new life, and that we go and tell the world what you have done in our life today. May this be a day that we are no longer bound by our anxiety. We are no longer bound by depression. We are no longer bound by the hurt of our past. We are no longer bound by those things, but we are freed because you live in us and your holiness comes in and changes us. Lord, I pray that we can be the boats in the storm that bring peace and ripple the effect of your love in your holiness. We have a culture. We have people in our lives. We know people personally that need to know your story, need to know your gospel, need to know the good news that you provide. Lord, may we bring voices to that. May we bring actions to that. May we embrace people that need your love. You have called us. This morning, I pray that just like the leopard, we call out and say, Lord, touch me, heal me, fix me, change me. And may we walk out of here knowing we have been touched by your Spirit. We give you all the praise. Lord, continue to do your work at this altar. Continue to do the work at the seats. And Lord, help us understand what is being done and be respectful of that. Lord, if we see somebody up here that we know we need to pray with, if you urge us to pray, may we come up and pray with them too, dear Lord. We are called to be a body of believers, to mourn, to bear each other's burdens, Lord, may we do that today with each other. We give you all the praise. Amen. Church, I'd ask for you to be respectful for those who are still up here. We have a meeting. I encourage everybody, if you can, to go to that meeting and understand, hey, there's little holy ones down there that we get to celebrate with and be with and love on. I encourage you to do that. When you're ready to go, go in peace. We give God all the praise. Continue to seek Him. Continue to seek His holiness. You're dismissed.